So today we wrap up our series, That Is Who You Are. And this week we had some storms, and one of the storms, our power went out for a little bit, and it kind of triggered for me a memory of when my two boys, Jacob and Jonathan, were little. And I hadn't even thought about this, but this has been years ago, because they were really little, and Shannon had left me alone with them, which did not happen very often. I don't think it was because she didn't trust me, but it was because I wasn't capable as much as she was. But I was alone with the boys. It was nighttime. There's a big storm, and I'm giving the boys a bath. We're in the bathroom. They're both in the tub, and the rain and the lightning and the thunder, it's a big crack of lightning, and the lights go completely out. It's dark. I don't know if you know what it's like when you have two wet little kids under your knees screaming in the dark, but you panic as a parent. I panicked, and I'm trying to, you know, figure things out. I know that, and it was really dark, and we were in the bathroom. Door was kind of closed, and so it was really dark, and the boys are screaming, and I'm trying to get things, and I'm thinking in my head, there's got to be lights, candles, flashlights, something, but I didn't know where any of it was. You don't think straight. And so I got them both out, wrapped them up in a towel, and I'm carrying them. And this is the thing that a dad would do, but I ran out to the garage. And I thought, well, I couldn't even open the garage door, so I had to, like, go through the side door to get into my garage. I got them in the car, and I turned the car on so the lights could come on in the car. And that was the only thing that brought them comfort. The light. You see, I think you and I take for granted how good it is that light is really readily available to all of us. We have cell phones. We have light switches. We have all kinds of lamps. And I hope you understand, that's a very recent luxury. For most of mankind's history, dark was a game changer. Well, sure, there were candles and there was oil and all of that, but again, only the rich and the elite could afford to use that any time they wanted. For most of man, throughout history, darkness has been debilitating. It has been paralyzing. It has been terrifying. For example, you read in the story of Exodus how God prepared the people for deliverance, and he sent those 10 plagues on Egypt. They were terrible things, locusts and frogs and gnats and... By the 9th plague, though, this was probably the scariest plague to date, because God said to Moses, I'm going to cover the land with darkness, a darkness so thick you can feel it, God said. And for 3 days, that darkness descended on Egypt, and it says in the Bible, nobody moved. And I imagine why. I mean, imagine a darkness so thick you can feel it and you hear something scurry, but you can't see it. You feel something kind of slither across your foot. You don't know what it is. Can you imagine the trauma psychologically that you would go through living in that constant state of darkness? Perhaps that's why when the Bible looks for a metaphor that describes life without God, it uses this word darkness over 200 times. It's a metaphor for evil, for suffering, for brokenness, for fallout of life without God. And darkness is no respecter of persons. But the good news is, neither is God. Now, the big takeaway of this entire series has been that the most important thing about you is what you think about God. And God, in his grace, has given us this revelation that you get to hold in your hands, the Bible, and it helps you get your thinking right about God. So, isn't it significant that right at the very beginning, right in the opening words of the Bible, God is telling us about himself, that that our God is a light in the darkness. Look at what I mean. Look at the very first verses of the Bible with me. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And here's what God was doing. He was getting ready to create an earth, a world for you and for me. And what's the very first thing we know that God does to do that? It says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. I want to reframe how we think about light. See, here's the first thing. Write this down. Let there be light is God's gift to this world. You're familiar in Genesis 1, as God is preparing this world for us, everything that he does, it says, is called good. Everything that he creates, everything that he prepares is good. And providing light was the very first good thing God did. Now, and if you know the days of creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, they were not created until the fourth day. And you wonder, well, what is the source then of this light? My contention is God. God is the source of the light himself. And so the Bible, from the very beginning, tells a story of a God who wants to live in intimate fellowship with his children on this good earth that he's created. And the first two chapters of the Bible tell how he started this story, and the last two chapters of the Bible tell how he finishes that story. God has restored creation the way he wants it to be. And notice in John's vision in Revelation how he describes this. Revelation 21, it says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The Bible is telling the story that starts and literally ends with us living in the good life of the light of our loving God. But the Bible tells the whole story, because it tells the story of all the darkness in between the beginning and the end. And let's be honest, it really didn't take a whole lot of time for things to go dark. By just the third chapter of the Bible, man turns his back on God. By the fourth chapter of the Bible, man turns his back on his own brother. And it is significant that God never has to say the words, let there be dark. It is the bent of the rebellious human heart to reject God and reject what God calls good. And Jesus explained it like this. He said, the people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Paul said in Ephesians 4, he describes what people without God are like. He says in verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Now, humanism would tell you that man is just getting better and better. But the scripture says, without God, we are getting darker and darker. That each generation finds new ways to get more morally depraved than the generation before it. We live in a very dark world. And God would be just if he just let us stay there. But you see, God is light in the darkness. That is who he is. He cannot keep the gift of light to himself. And so in the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, there is this amazing verse, verse 9. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And so in Bethlehem, a virgin who was pregnant, She gave birth to her son in a manger in Bethlehem, and God said again, let there be light. You see, Jesus came from heaven to shed light on everything, to shed light on how much we matter to God, to shed light on how close God is to us, even when we can't see it, and even when we can't feel it. To shed light on how far God was willing to go to set us free from the darkness. My God, that is who you are. God refuses to let darkness have the last word. And listen, child of God, you should not either. You see, let there be light is not just God's gift to the world. Let there be light is our prayer in the world. I heard a story about a newly appointed pastor at an inner city church. Right from the window of his office in the church building, he saw all of the fallout of poverty and crime and prostitution and despair and drug use, and he was weeping. One of the deacons came in from the church, saw what he was looking at through the window. He patted the pastor on the back. He said, "Don't worry, Pastor, you'll get used to it." And the pastor replied, "I know I will. That's why I'm crying." See, darkness for you and I is just normal. We get complacent to it. Scripture calls you and me to be vigilant, to not just accept darkness as it is what it is, because we have a God who likes to say those words, "Let there be light." Tell you an amazing story in the Old Testament. Joshua is helping the children of Israel possess the land of promise. And they are in a battle with a people called the Amorites. And it's a huge battle. And it really turns the tide of the possession of the land. And Joshua and the people are actually winning the battle. In fact, God is during the battle sending down hailstones that are hitting just the Amorites, not the Israelites. And you'd think the Amorites would kind of be like, "Hey, why are we only getting picked off?" But the battle isn't over yet. And night is beginning to descend during this battle. And Joshua knows that when night descends, the advantage goes to the Amorites because they know the land better than the Israelites do. And so this guy prays the boldest prayer. He basically says, "God, we need more daylight." And he looks up to the sky and he says, "Sun, stay still. God, we need more daylight." So if you don't know the story, it's in Joshua 10. But here's what the Bible says in Joshua 10, beginning in verse 13. It says, "So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it's written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel." I know that's a bizarre story, but we already talked about the fact 2 weeks ago that our God is a miracle worker, that he actually is the one who created the laws of nature. He is not constricted by the laws of nature. I think that God just hit the solar power pause button. That's not consistent with the laws of nature. I know that, but it is totally consistent with God's character and God's agenda and God's desire to bring light into darkness. And like Joshua, you and I need to pray bigger. We need to pray bolder. We need to pray, "God, we need some more light in here," prayers. And perhaps we should start with God exposing the darkness in our own hearts. "God, I need light to know the ways in my own life where darkness has taken hold in my heart." You know, one of the things that hurts the church's witness is when we go out and curse the darkness in the world but refuse to look at it in our own hearts. David prayed this prayer in Psalm 139, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Maybe that's God's call for you today, to pray that prayer. God, show me any darkness in my own life. Lord, let there be light. See, what God did for creation, God actually wants to do for you. Look at Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Isn't that awesome? God wants the light with which he created to be the light that shines in you. And what God has done for us, we should pray that he will do for all, because here's the thing I really want you to catch, that, and this is big, spiritual illumination requires divine intervention. Blind people cannot find the light. Now, every Christ follower I'm talking to right now has in your life somebody on your heart, maybe your one friend, your one family member, maybe your mate, and they don't know Jesus. And here's the honest truth. They cannot find Jesus on their own. And here's why. Paul says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, the God, little g, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They don't understand this message about the glory of God, who is the exact likeness of God. That's why we need to pray, let there be light prayers. We are asking for the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are asking for divine intervention to bring spiritual illumination, because we know that our God is a light in darkness. Our God loves to say those words, "Let there be light." And he's doing it all over the world. You've heard me mention the Muslim world in particular. And I keep doing that because you need to understand that in the last 3 decades, more Muslims have come to Jesus Christ and saving faith in him than in the past 1,400 years. And about 1 out of every 3 Muslims who is coming to Jesus is saying they had a dream or they had a vision, and they had that prior to their salvation experience. Lee Strobel, he's got a book called The Case for Miracles. Good little book. I'd encourage you to get it. But in the book, he interviews a man named Tom Doyle, who's a leading expert on this particular phenomenon. He's interviewed hundreds of Muslims who have become Christians. And he reports so many of them see the exact same image. They have a dream where someone in a white robe appears to them and says to them that he died for them and he wants to be in relationship with them. This has happened in Syria, this has happened in Iraq, it's happened in Iran, it's happened so many times, in fact, in the country of Egypt, that there are Christians in Egypt that have taken out newspaper ads with the following headline that simply says, "Have you seen a man in a white robe in your dreams? Call us for more information." And we should not be surprised when we hear these kinds of stories. Because what did Jesus say about himself? Look with me, John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Church, there is no part of this world that we should just surrender over to darkness. And so here's what that means. It means this: let there be light. Did I go back? technology. I'm going to throw this sometimes. Let there be light is our mission for the world. I think it's significant that out of all of the I am statements that Jesus applies to himself, this is the only one that he applies to you and me as well. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He never said that about me. Jesus said, I am the gate. He never said we are the gate. He certainly never said that we are the resurrection and the life. But here's what he did say. I am the light of the world. And you are the light of the world. You see, God has put his light in us who have been illumined, who have come to faith in Christ, and we are like lamps. We're not the light. We are just a vessel of the light. And what God does when he delivers people from spiritual blindness is he brings them to others who have seen the light. And it's why whenever darkness reigns, wherever it happens to be, the kingdom of God belongs there. I'll say it again. Wherever in the world we see darkness, that is not where we as Christians retreat. It is where we invade. Because we are taking with us the light of salvation. I have a friend, her name is Laura, and she, a number of years ago, started a ministry right here in Des Moines called Jericho Outreach. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but what she and a, it just started this way. Her and a few other older ladies started getting together and praying about the women who were dancing in the strip clubs in this city. And what they would do is they just pray each week over these girls and pray that God would invade their lives and their hearts. And then they stopped just praying. They started going to the strip clubs and they would bring care baskets to these women who were dancing in front of men, exposing themselves and, you know, dancing toplessly, whatever, all that stuff in front of all these jerk men that need to have their kneecaps broken. But anyways, they'd bring them these care baskets and they'd pray with them and they'd pray over them. And some of these women decided to leave that. And when they would leave that, they would take their high heels and give them to Laura, and Laura would hang up their high heels on the wall of Jericho Outreach Ministries because they had left that for the light of Jesus. Because wherever darkness reigns, that's where the people of God, filled with the light of God, need to go. Here's what Jesus said to Paul when he called Paul into ministry in Acts 27 or 26, verse 17. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And here's the thing. We cannot make any person love the light, but we must want everyone to have a chance to see the light. Because so many live in darkness about who the true God is. They say, they cannot say the words, that is who you are, because they don't know him. See, for them, God is a rule maker, a taskmaster, a fine giver, a judge in the distance. Your privilege, your calling, your mission is to help them know the God who was revealed in Jesus so that they can actually say those words. That is who you are. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 12. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. See, here's what we ultimately believe at the Fort. It's simple. Jesus is greater than darkness. And that's why we will go anywhere. That's why we won't be intimidated by anything. And that's why we will not let darkness have the last word. Now, there was a time when darkness thought it had the last word. There was a time when at Golgotha, where evil thought it had extinguished the light, they took him off a cross and they sealed his body in a dark tomb. But 3 days later, God said again, "Let there be light." John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness did not stop him. Darkness could not contain him. And it will not keep him from returning to send darkness to hell forever. My God, that is who you are. And that God wants to say, let there be light in your heart today. So would you pray with me? Stand up. So God, set our hearts on fire with the truth that the very God who spoke into the darkness and light came, that same God and that same light can live in us. For those who have received Christ, I pray you will burn in them a passion to see the light of Christ go into the whole world. Make us faithful, make us urgent, and make us generous, God. And Holy Spirit, I'm begging you right now, penetrate the darkness. I'm praying that people listening right now will not be able to rest and get that uneasiness in their spirit until they do something that leads them to a conversation about the true light of the world, King Jesus. And it's in his name we pray.